Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Renovated, God, Dallas Willard, and the Church That Transforms by Jim Wilder. Narrated by Tom Parks. Chapter 1. Salvation is a New Attachment. Jim Wilder. Dallas Willard sat across from me with tears in his eyes as he looked at the floor. Dallas had only weeks to live, but his tears were not for his own life. "What I have learned in this last year," he told me, "is more important than what I learned in the rest of my life. But I have no time to write about it. I will try to finish the projects I have started." He looked up at me. I wondered if he was thinking about our conversation or something else. "You need to write about this," Dallas said. His voice was steady, but with mounting passion. "I know of no soteriology, doctrine of salvation, based on forming a new attachment with God." He offered no arguments in favor or against the idea. Dallas, for as well as he knew history, could think of no previous proponents. His body slumped back into his chair, tired from the energy of speaking. I glanced at his wife, Jane, sensing that it was about time for me to leave. Dallas needed rest. A fast message of understanding passed between our minds without words. Jane was always an astute observer and pragmatist. As both a licensed therapist and spiritual director, Jane had constant contact with people who experienced less success at the Christian life than they had hoped to have. Traumatized people were not achieving the degree of transformation they expected. She noticed that commonly proposed solutions worked for some people, but not as well for others. Good-hearted people were working very hard, using both theological and psychological approaches, and still not seeing their desired change into the character of Christ. Jane had been one of my first supervisors after I finished my doctorate. It was her training that brought the presence of God into the healing experience for me. Jane joked that she discovered both Dallas and me, but there is much more to Jane's influence than that. Jane applied the same rigor to psychological interventions as she did to spiritual solutions. Over the last 35 years, Jane had challenged both Dallas and me to find broader, deeper, and more complete means of transformation. Dallas wanted to see empirically verifiable effects after encountering God. Jane wanted methods that would work regardless of someone's wounds or maturity, and she expected solutions that were both theologically and academically defensible. All of us wanted means of transformation that were accessible and enduring. Jane caught my eye. We all prayed together before I headed out the door. My mind went back to 2011, when I felt strongly pressed in my spirit to have a dinner honoring Dallas for his contributions to Christian life. I had been impacted by both his books and his presence. As an author myself, I knew that most Christian books came and went. Few books would be remembered in 100 years. Yet, I am certain that Christians will continue reading Dallas. People who are serious about godly character will find guidance in his work. Honoring Dallas would not be easy. While he was as warm and kind as he was brilliant, Dallas did not like attention. He did agree to do a conference with us on the topic of spiritual and emotional maturity, and to submit to a dinner as part of that event. Our goal was to examine best practices to achieve transformation of character, in contrast to what Dallas called sin management. The 2012 Heart and Soul Conference would bring together thought leaders who designed and taught methods to achieve transformation, and people who had tried it all. Ordinary Christians would meet brain specialists and theologians, and together we would explore, for the first time, how the brain learns Christ-like character. we would examine whether current brain science would change the understanding of human nature that had dominated Christian theology since the Middle Ages. Would knowing how the brain learns character revise how we teach ourselves to be Christian? Heart and Soul began a discussion between Dallas and me that became this book. How does the brain develop an identity and normal human maturity? The human identity systems in the brain generate our emotional reactions to life, reactions that often lack Christ-like character. Changes in the brain's identity systems will change both our character and our reactions. Dallas and I wanted to compare how the brain changes character with the methods Christians use for discipleship and spiritual formation. Could spiritual disciplines like prayer, fasting, and Bible study be better tuned to produce character change? Dallas and I began talking about a joint project on the nature of transformation that could become a book. Shortly after the Heart and Soul Conference, however, Dallas discovered the condition that was to take his life. It was clear that I was to take the path ahead without him. As I drove home, my mind went back to how Dallas acted at the Heart and Soul Conference. I knew he was not well, so we set up a room for him to rest, but Dallas was having none of it. He sat at the front of the auditorium, rarely looking up, but deeply engaged with all who asked him questions. Most audience members had been Christians for over 30 years. Many practiced spiritual disciplines, moved in the Holy Spirit, saw a spiritual director, and had been in therapy or inner healing. Many participants were therapists, teachers, spiritual directors, or ministers of inner healing themselves. Their questions revealed a deep desire for better results from their spiritual practices. Few could say yes when they applied Dallas's main test for Christ-like character. Whether one spontaneously responds to one's enemies with love. Relationships and emotions were frequent issues among Heart and Soul participants. Dallas engaged each person thoughtfully. He was caring for their souls. The Care of Souls. My mind went even further back. I had opened the Heart and Soul Conference by telling the story of how I first met Dallas. It was 1982, and Jane had just become the director of training for our community counseling center. She thought it would be great to have Dallas speak in our staff meeting. A staff member mentioned that Dallas was a philosophy professor at the University of Southern California. Some of the staff seemed quite excited. I figured this would be a dry staff meeting. The course of my life was about to change dramatically. Psychology, Dallas said quietly, is the care of souls. The care of souls was once the province of the church, but the church no longer provides that care. He paused. The most important thing about the care of souls is that you must love them. Love souls. My whole professional training had been one of learned disengagement. I carefully learned not to have any emotional connection with clients. That very disengagement was strange, had I stopped to think about it. My interest in psychology began during a spiritual crisis at age 19 when I discovered a loving and relational God. As I searched for what it meant to believe in Jesus, three elements of the Christian life came into sharp focus. 1. Dialogue with God about everything. 2. Do nothing out of fear. And 3. Love people deeply. Dallas was precipitating a collision between my professional training and the very spiritual life that initiated my counseling education. As Dallas softly declared that we must love souls in order to care for them, this truth shattered my professional persona. I realized that somewhere during seminary, I had stopped dialoguing with God about everything. Sure, I prayed outside the office, but the active presence of God was something I no longer felt. I never taught others to experience God in the counseling hour. I did recommend spiritual practices.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?